Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you today, see you all, and to join in the theme of December, which is Season of Miracles. So I thought I would start by a great miracle this morning. My wife's going to come and read the scripture. I don't usually ask her to do a lot when I'm about to speak, but I thought it'd be good this morning if she could come and read the Word of God and the passage I'm going to speak on this morning. Luke chapter 1 and verses 26 to 38. Thanks, Mary.
I don't know whether the miracle is my reading skills, but we shall see. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Good. Well, that's the passage I want us to look at this morning. And to help us to get what I want to bring across this morning, I want us to sing a carol. Is that all right? I haven't sung many this season yet. I've sung Rocking Around the Christmas Tree because my granddaughters came round or something. But carols, there are very few carols, really, that get across the point I want to make this morning. And it's simply this, that what happened to Mary biologically is what God intends to happen to you and me spiritually. So the title, not to be disrespectful to Mary at all, but I want to invite you this Christmas to have a Mary Christmas. Yeah? And as we sing this carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," please take note of the words, because I'm going to make reference to that after, and they'll be still up there. So I think Em and some of the ladies are going to come and help us to sing that. And so please look at the words and sing this beautiful carol. And the theme of what I want to try and get over this morning is contained in it. Along, by the way, if you want.
Sure.
Jess, if you could just put verse 3 up again. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. I'm going to go on to my PowerPoint now, please, and just to reflect on the passage first and foremost. When it begins in Luke 1 and verse 26, it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." You can go on to the next one, please. Yes. What I'm going to talk about is this today. What God always wants to do in every human being is an inside job. Yeah? See, when we think about Christmas, there's lots of things to see, right? There's stars. We've had it up on the screen this morning. There's wise men, astrologers, philosophers come from the East when he gets a bit older. And there's shepherds and angels. And there's so much to see and hear. But in this carol, rightly, it tells us that something happened which was a miracle, which took place months before. And so I want you to just look at this. Thank you, Jess. Next one, please. Just realize this truth this morning. God just comes. I don't know what Mary was doing that day. She was betrothed to Joseph. She might have been sewing her coins that they wore around their head, or she might have been putting that together or sewing her wedding dress. I don't know. But she was betrothed to be married, and she was just going around her everyday life. Anybody else here got an everyday life? You know what you're doing tomorrow morning about 9 o'clock? Some of you do, don't you? Yeah, you're going to be in the same place you were last Monday at 9 o'clock. Yeah, and we're going about our ordinary life, but we fail to understand that God has a different calendar. Did Dennis make it this morning? He didn't make it. Well, he just had his operation. That's understandable. But you know, I was talking to Dennis just a few weeks ago, and he was telling me that for the major part of his life, he was an atheist. Didn't believe anything about God. In fact, he would have a good argument in a pub about why you shouldn't believe in God. But then he began to talk to a lady online who began to tell him about what God had done in her life. And he said, "Oh, I wonder if that could happen to me." And I don't know exactly when, but he will tell you. But there came a point where God came. And something completely and radical and wonderful changed in Dennis's life. We've got a couple over at Swaffham that's come to know the Lord this year. And it's just marvelous to see. Because I saw something on Facebook that David put this week. And this was a guy who regularly liked a bit of weed and liked his beer and did what he wanted with the money that he earned, lived his life for himself. But on Facebook this week, in response to somebody, he said, "I want you to know, I love Jesus now." See, God just comes. We need to understand that whatever Mary was doing, God had a calendar. I don't know about you, but I look back now when I was 16 years of age and realized that I didn't know that God had got a date in his calendar when he was going to come and change my life. Yeah? And I just want people to understand that this morning, that God doesn't do anything on the spur of the moment. God has a plan, which makes it all the more exciting, because you might have thought you've come here this morning because you quite like the singing, or because your friend invited you. But I want to tell you, God's got a calendar. He's got a calendar for your life. He's got a plan for your life. And so with Mary, there she is. It's just amazing. In the 6 months, Angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, by what we read here, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, I like that, do you? Having come in. So what does that tell us? It tells us that probably, I don't know, it could have been that if he's a bloke like me, he didn't know where she lived. I'm terrible with finding places. Or no, more likely that he knew exactly where she lived. Yeah? And whatever form he took, I think it would probably be like a man. The angel Gabriel comes, and maybe he just knocked on the door. It doesn't tell us he appeared, does it? He just says he came in. So Mary invited him in. And then he begins to say to her, I've got some fantastic news for you, Mary. I've got a message for you. And it's a message that you're not really going to be able to fully grasp. So I'm bringing to you the good news of salvation. That God has chosen you to actually bear a child, and that child will be the Saviour of the world. It's pretty staggering stuff on a Monday morning, isn't it? Yeah? If it was a Monday. But that message was a message that was actually going to affect her life. It was going to change her life forever. See, that's why I don't like religion. Because religion tries to put over sometimes that we can change ourselves. Actually, the Bible doesn't teach that. It teaches us that God steps in to our lives. That's the first miracle, isn't it? Anyone here this morning say, it's a miracle when God stepped into my life? I remember this young lady on the front row in a little hall in Spall, in my village where I live, coming with Margaret Bunce. Margaret had invited you because of problems and difficulties. And that night, God just came. And you're still here this morning. How many years ago was that, Mary? 15 years ago. God just came. Yeah? And I believe with all my heart that this is the good news that we carry at Christmas time. Right? It's not really all about mangers and stars and carols. Actually, it's about that God can transform any person's life. And that he comes. He comes into a person's life. God had that message for her that salvation would come through the Christ who she was going to carry. And it would change her life forever, and it did. As we read the Gospels, it changes her life. But of course we know it would involve a miracle. And it's a miracle that only God can do. It's wonderful because, see, when I was a little lad, I was brought up and I was taken to church. But there was sometimes a message that I found a little bit difficult to understand as a child. Because I heard this message that kept saying, invite Jesus into your heart. Well, I kept thinking, well, how's he going to get in there? Yes, but I'm only small. And in my mind, I was wondering how. But of course, here, what we see the explanation is of the angel to Mary is exactly the same as what happens to us. See, when God comes to our life, we know he's going to change our life. We don't know how much when he first comes, but not long before we find out, he changes our life completely. And he tells us something, tells Mary something that she didn't seem to perceive herself, that you are favored, highly favored among women. And that word favor is lovely. It means actually undeserved favor, yeah? It means favor that perhaps she didn't expect, favor that she didn't know about. You know, our message is, as Christians this morning, is to tell people this, more than anything else, that we are living now in God's time of favor. That Christmas is all about the fact that God has said, now is the time. Now is the accepted time. God has done something through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his coming, through his birth, through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, that now man can know that when God looks at the worst of us, he still looks at us with love and favor. Yeah? He looks at us with love and favor. So I'm not surprised that she was surprised, because, to be honest with you, it's quite difficult sometimes to grasp the depth of God's love for us. Because we often compare it with human love. But I was thinking about, I used to like the Crocodile Dundee movies. Anybody else like those? Yeah? I kind of like that Aussie rawness and all that kind. And I like Crocodile Dundee too, because I was watching it once, and I don't know whether this is a good idea, but I think I'd been doing a Bible study in the daytime about the love of God, and I watched Crocodile Dundee 2 at night, yeah? And you know, it's where he goes back to America, that one where, you know, she's been to Oz and he goes back to America, and it don't seem to be working out, does it? Probably my favourite bit, well, there's two favourite bits. One where them two kind of little hoodlums come with little pen knives, you know what I mean? And he threatens them, he goes, that ain't a knife, and he pulls this great big Bowie knife. I said, this is a knife. You know what I mean? And they go running. That's my first bit. But the really other bit is this. When she finally realizes that she loves him and she wants him more than the top exec who's tried to woo her with his money and position and finance, and she decides, and so she's running down, and her shoes, her high heels break, and she runs down into the underground, or the metro, as they would call it. And there's a crowd on the station. Can you remember that? Crowd on the station, and he's right over here with his Aussie hat on, yeah, and she's over here, and basically she's trying to get a message to him, and there's a big sort of West Indian guy, and she says, hey, can you tell him, and he, hey, can you tell him, and it goes on like that until finally one guy says, hey, there's somebody wants to say to you. Said, well, what's he want? And then the message goes backwards and forwards, yeah, until finally she thinks, the only way I'm going to get through is, tell him I love him. He goes, she says she loves you. Tell him, she says she loves you. He goes, she loves me. And I guess because I've been studying on that subject that day, it just made me realize that's the kind of surprise that we have when we find out how much God loves us. Yeah? John 3:16 is a Christmas verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See, when Mary had that news given to her, it was a message for her of God's love and God's favor towards her. And it changes your life. That's the thing about being a Christian, is that when God's Holy Spirit does what he does to Mary in a biological sense, when he does it to us in a spiritual sense. That's quite an amazing thing. Go on, Jess, if you want, to the next one. Just see, it tells us here that God promises something would happen on the inside. Yeah? On the inside. I want to tell you that I'm so blessed this morning to find, especially in the New Testament and in Paul's writings, how many times he tells us that being a Christian means that by the Holy Spirit working in us, Christ comes to live in us. Yeah? So although as a lad, when somebody said, give your heart to Jesus, let Jesus into your heart, they didn't explain it very well. Actually, they weren't talking about physically, they were talking spiritually. They were talking spiritually because Romans 8 verse 10 says, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. Because of what Jesus Christ did for you, because he died for you, rose again for you, because he's now in heaven for you and praying for you, his heart is that you will now open your life to his Holy Spirit who he sent so that he can actually be formed in you. It's an amazing thing when you look at the Bible to see the comparison between the biological birth. We've just had a dedication this morning of baby Shekinah, but there's just that complete parallel that we find. Did you know that actually there has to be two to tango for a baby to come together? Yeah? But did you know also the Word and the Spirit have to do the same thing? So God's Word, the Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he speaks to us in the Epistle of Peter, it says it's the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Did you know that word seed there in the Greek language? I'm going to give you a bit of Greek now. Not that I know a lot, but the Greek word is spermatoza. That actually, God's word comes and the Holy Spirit works on that seed that God plants into our hearts, and Christ, by the Spirit, is born in us. Just as happened with Mary. In the biological, but here in the spiritual. And it's a wonderful thing when you meet people and you know people who, in your own experience as well. I can remember a time when I didn't know Christ. When I didn't feel the Holy Spirit. I didn't know his life within me. But I heard the Word of God. I heard the Word of God that Jesus Christ died for me. That God loves me. Yeah? And something happens. It's amazing. And it still happens today. And it can happen in your life this morning. That when I believe he did it for me, the Bible says this in Romans 10, if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. A work of the Holy Spirit will begin in your life, and we call it being born again. Something happens in a person's life. So we human beings were created by God with a body on the outside, but also a soul and a spirit on the inside. And our spirit, our deepest part, created to contact and receive the Spirit of God, is on the inside. And we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. He cleanses us from our sin, and we come in that understanding of his Spirit within us brings that life. That's why the Apostle Paul says this, we have this treasure in earthen pots of clay. Yeah. God put something in us. See, Mary knew something was happening. Yeah. A woman knows quite early on that something's changing in her body. The Holy Spirit had done this incredible, miraculous work. But I want to say, in the spiritual realm, it's exactly the same. When I believe God's word, the Holy Spirit is enabled to come and let Christ be formed in our life. In fact, Paul prays that in Galatians to that young church there. He says, I'm praying for you that Christ might be formed in you. In Ephesians chapter 3 and 17, it says that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith. In other places, Paul says these words, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I want to say, The wonderful thing about following the Lord Jesus Christ is that as you grow, you're not perfect. But as you go on and let that same Holy Spirit that began that creative work, work in your life, it grows. Without being irreverent, I want to say it's a wonderful thing to feel pregnant with God inside of you. Yeah? Mary knew there was a sign. People begin to recognize. Hey, she's... What a wonderful thing when somebody says to somebody at work, as recently happened to Dave over at Swaffham. Again, he was on drugs. Again, he was messing around and life was a mess. But wow, his bosses at work said, what's happened to you? About 10 weeks ago, something changed. Hallelujah. God just came and he believed the message. Paul says, it's Christ in us that is the hope of glory. Our future destiny and everything about our lives has changed because the Holy Spirit came and worked in our lives. It's a miracle, yes. Something would happen on the inside. Christ was formed in her. A new life was deposited. It was the very life of God. See, my biggest joy is to see the truth that when we share Jesus Christ with people, they too experience a Merry Christmas. Because it can be something that we miss so easily in all the seeings and hearings and doings of Christmas. Actually, that carol says, how silently the wondrous gift is given. Yeah? So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear can hear his coming, but in this world of sin where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. I'm always blessed to know that God didn't come to me on the outside. He came to me on the inside. God does an inside job. Yeah? An inside job. And I just know this morning, and I don't know where people are at. Some people I met today for the first time. And I don't know where you're at, but all I can say to you is this. I love Mary's response to this work that God was doing in her life, that he wanted to do in her life. When he came, her response was this. Let it be to me according to your word. She just simply believed God's promise. An amazing thing. I can't believe the journey of my life and me and my wife and what God has done and planned and still doing through us happened because one night on a yacht in the Norfolk Broads, I said, Lord, please come into my life. Holy Spirit, please work in me. I'm a sinner. I've done lots of wrong things, but I'm glad that you don't hold my sins against me. You want me to be reconciled to you. And Christ came this Christmas. He's the one who reconciles us to God. And in that reconciliation, it says, not holding men's sins against them. There's no reason on earth why you can't receive God's gift, God's Holy Spirit in your life. You just have to believe. And the Holy Spirit will help you to do that today. Because I believe that when we just share God's word, when we tell people about his love, that same thing that happened to Mary in the physical can happen to you in the spiritual. Christ can be formed in you today. Let's just pray for a moment, shall we? I just felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to say two things this morning. First, maybe you have had a walk with God in your past, but somehow it's got muddled up in life. But I'm so glad that God still wants to come. And just like Paul, he prayed for the Galatian church and said, I'm going to pray that Christ is formed in you again. Yeah? Because it's there, it just needs to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit to grow again. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you just need to say it this Christmas time. Lord, I want a Merry Christmas. Holy Spirit, please come and do a fresh work in my life. Or maybe you're just a person who's never thought that God was interested in you. But you found out that you're on his calendar. Found out that he wants to change your life. He's got a plan for your life as well. You can have a Merry Christmas. God can do an inside job on you. It's the words of a carol that don't seem to sing that much these days. But I'm going to read it to you because my mum used to sing this carol. It goes like this. No room for the Saviour at Bethlehem's Inn, only a cattle shed. And no room on this earth for the dear Son of God, nowhere to lay his head. Only a cross did they give to my Lord, only a borrowed tomb. But today he is seeking a place in your heart. Will you say to him, no room? Here's the response, second verse. O Lord, in my heart there's a welcome for you. Gladly I now would say, come in, precious Saviour, my heart and my life, both shall be yours today. Long have you waited and long knocked in vain outside my heart's closed door. Cleanse me from sin. Lord, enter in and live there forevermore. Anyone this morning, while our heads are bowed, just want me to pray for you right at this moment. Maybe that's something you're saying today. God, would you start an inside job on my life? I want you to start an inside job. Holy Spirit, I want you to know that I want God to work in me. I want to receive Christ as my Saviour. I want Christ to do a deeper work in my life. If you'd like me to pray for you right now, just slip your hand up and let me see who you are. And I'll just pray for you. God bless you, yeah. Anyone else? Somebody up the back there, God bless you. Because right now we're at a calendar moment. Right now we're at a moment where God can do something in someone's life. Heavenly Father, I'm so glad that you had a plan for Mary. So much bigger and greater than ever she could have imagined. And yet, Lord, it's such a picture and illustration of what you have for each one of us. That you love us, that your favour is towards us in Christ. So, Lord, ones who you've spoken to this morning right now, I pray, begin that inside job, Lord. Let there be a Merry Christmas on these lives this year. Let there be, O God, a work of your Spirit, and Christ be formed in them. And Lord, I ask for myself today, and every one of my brothers and sisters, will you be formed in us in a greater measure? Will you come forth, Lord, in your fullness, in our lives? We pray that the message of good news that we carry at this Christmas time will be a message that others are ready to hear and want to respond to too. In Jesus' name, amen.